Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew and Zach here for another week, talking this week about spiritual gifts, kind of on the heels of your sermon, Pastor Drew, from Sunday about Acts and Paul planting the church in Ephesus. Paul talked to them about the Holy Spirit and the role the Holy Spirit played in their faith, but also in their cultural engagement.
Right, right. Actually, so when Paul comes to Ephesus, he finds a group of 12 is the number that they give, 12 believers there that had been converted, I suppose, most likely through the teaching of Apollos. And in the previous chapter, we learned that Apollos was taught in Ephesus by Priscilla and Aquila because he was preaching Christ, but he was also only aware of the baptism of John,
yeah,
which was a baptism of repentance.
Yeah.
And so when Paul comes to Ephesus, he finds this group of believers, but they only knew the baptism of John as well, a baptism of repentance.
And so as opposed to the baptism of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
True, which is how Christ ordained that sacrament. But Paul goes and he finds what Scripture tells us are believers, and so they believed in Jesus Christ. However, they did not have the fullness of the gospel as of yet. And
no one had told them about the Holy Spirit.
Right. And Paul somehow noticed this. We don't know why he noticed it. Mm. We don't know whether it was because they weren't speaking in tongues,
sure,
and prophesying,
yeah,
or whether there was just some hesitancy in terms of their cultural engagement. You know, okay, now we believe, but what do we do with it, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't feel equipped or gifted to then spread the gospel and to engage the world.
Yeah.
And so Paul baptizes them, and then it says that the Holy Spirit did come upon them at the laying on of his hands, and they began prophesying and speaking in tongues. And so, yes, that's what we talked about this past Sunday.
Well, it got us talking about spiritual gifts and the role it plays in our church today, the importance of using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has gifted us with, empowered us, and doing the things he's empowered us to do as it relates to being a church body and everybody playing their part, but also as it relates to outreach,
mm-hmm,
and using our gifts to engage culture. And Paul actually has a lot to say about spiritual gifts, and we wanted to start in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, where he's talking about the church being like a body and every part being valued. And he says in verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts." And he starts chapter 14 saying, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So he has this long list of different ways that we can be gifted. And he does the same thing in Romans 12, which you have, right?
Romans 12, beginning at verse 6, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully."
So there's a lot of overlap in those lists, but some new things in each one. But what you get is this really full picture of the way that we're gifted. Everything from prophesying, which we'll maybe explain in more detail in a minute.
Sure.
But everything from prophesying to, and we think of it as lesser, but maybe Paul doesn't describe it that way, to encouragement.
Sure.
And
encouragement,
so I think of,
and
yeah,
serving others.
I think of people who write notes at church, like thank you cards or encouragement cards, and stick them in my mailbox. That means a lot.
Sure.
And it's not something that I think of doing all the time, and I'm thankful for the people that are really gifted that way, because encouragement matters. So sometimes we think of that as maybe one of the more smaller, simple things, but it really matters. But anyways, there's this really kind of exhaustive list of different ways that we're gifted. And I don't think it's a comprehensive list either.
Right.
There are other things, too, that we can have. But we wanted to get at some of the maybe more challenging ones, too. And prophecy is named as the first one in both of those lists.
Right. And, you know, the understanding of prophecy that we have here, and this is Old Testament and New Testament as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Most people, when they think of prophecy, they think about the predictive aspect of it.
Yeah, telling the future.
However, you look at the ministry of every one of the prophets in the Old Testament and also into the New, this idea of prophecy, I think, is most closely related to preaching, and because teaching comes with that, you know, preaching and teaching,
yeah,
and expositing God's word and laying hold of taking hold of God's promises and what that means for right now and looking into the future. And so even in preaching and teaching today, there is an aspect of predicting.
Yeah. So we like to think of prophecy as being closer to preaching and teaching than any type of predictive thing. But that's not to skirt around the miraculous type of prophecy that,
sure,
is predictive. So professors at Trinity used to talk about prophecy as being equal parts foretelling, F-O-R-E,
mm-hmm,
foretelling the future, equal parts foretelling and forth, F-O-R-T-H, telling scripture. Mm-hmm. And I think the bulk of what we see today is forthtelling, where we take scripture and explain it in a clear way, what we call preaching and teaching scripture. And there's an element of foretelling that comes with that, because what's in Scripture does tell us about what's going to happen at the end of time and when Jesus returns again and what heaven will look like. So there's an element of foretelling there. So when we think of miraculous type prophecy like predicting the future, that only happens so far as it's in line with what Scripture tells us,
right,
about the future, right? The canon is closed, so you can't make some new prophecy about something new that will happen in God's great scheme.
Unless you're really lucky.
Yeah, unless you're lucky, yes, but then it's not miraculous. But God does give us images and pictures of what will happen in the future in His Word.
Yeah, definitely. But circling back to what happened in Ephesus then,
mm-hmm,
that takes care of one of the two manifestations of the Holy Spirit that it mentions there, in that, you know, once Paul laid his hands on the people and baptized them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Spirit came and they were able to prophesy, they were able to preach and express their faith in such a way that it was going to engage the culture around them, and it was going to have impact. They were able to, you know, share the gospel with confidence now that they had the gospel in its fullness and the gift of the Holy Spirit came.
I think that speaks to the Spirit's power, because these were believers,
sure,
who knew everything and wanted to serve Christ already. But when the Spirit came upon them, when they finally learned that the Holy Spirit was available to them, that Christ had given us the Holy Spirit when He ascended into heaven, at that moment, their teaching just exploded in fruitfulness.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a lesson for us to learn, too, is that we rely on the Holy Spirit even more than I think we realize, that we can love and pursue Jesus and want to reach people for Christ, but if we do it apart from the Holy Spirit, it's not very fruitful.
Right.
But with the Holy Spirit, wow, can it be powerful.
And that speaks to the issue, too, of recognizing and developing the spiritual gifts that you've been given. And I think about some of the gifts that people have in our church and the way they view those gifts. I guess, in a scriptural way, not thinking more highly of themselves than they ought,
sure,
but they almost underplay it too much,
mm-hmm,
the impact that they have in,
yeah,
people's lives and the way that they are living out the gospel and manifesting and communicating the gospel in their actions.
Hmm. I know testimony of a friend of mine that a happy Thanksgiving note kept him from a really, really dark place in his life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so you think, like, what a simple thing to write a note of encouragement and stick it in a mailbox. But it has bigger impact than we realize, same as prophecy.
I had it just this morning. I got a phone call kind of out of the blue. I had a conversation with a woman in our church after church on Sunday. And it was just, she was dealing with an issue. It was a relational type of issue. And I did my best to speak a little bit of wisdom into the situation. And we left it at that. And, you know, I got a call from her saying, you know, I just wanted to encourage you because, you know, that encouragement meant so much to me on Sunday. And I had forgotten about it. But, you know, just understanding how much it meant to her and then her telling me how much it meant to me is just how powerful is that. Yeah.
Well, Paul, in his list in 1 Corinthians 12, lists prophecy first, and he lists speaking in tongues last.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 14, he goes into a little bit more detail about why he thinks prophecy is so important and why he thinks tongues maybe isn't as important as prophecy. So he says prophecy is real important because we need to be teaching people about Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what prophecy is. It's preaching and teaching. And that's important. That's how people are going to hear about Christ and come to believe. And ultimately, that's what we want to do is make believers, make disciples of Jesus Christ. And he kind of puts down tongues a little bit, puts it down a little bit because he says it doesn't, unless there's an interpreter present, it doesn't edify a body of believers. If you're speaking in spiritual tongues and no one around you can understand what you're saying, it doesn't build us around you up at all. And in fact, a visitor might be confused by it. That is not to say that spiritual tongues don't exist or aren't real or are fake, but it is to say that there's a time and a place for that type of gift.
Sure, I think we should be careful. Paul is reacting to the way the church was viewing it.
Yeah,
speaking in tongues was like the big one, and he was kind of, I wouldn't say that he was putting down that gift as, you know, lesser than all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he was bringing it into perspective in terms of, okay, this spiritual gift has a contribution to be made, but the way that it is being used, particularly in the Corinthian church, was very abusive.
Sure.
And it still happens today.
Sure, it does, yes.
However, I believe in speaking in tongues.
As do I.
I do not understand how it works,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, an audible, you know, speaking in tongues for all to hear, or whether it's more common that it's just the mutterings and groanings of the Holy Spirit within you when you're reacting to injustice in the world or pain and suffering. I think probably both are true. And, I think that there's a place for that. And I want to be careful not to elevate some gifts farther than they should be. And I don't want to downplay or undercut gifts because, like we said, it's not an exhaustive list that we find in Scripture, and everyone has a part to play. Everyone is a member of the body, so to speak, and that's where I went in my sermon last week, that I truly believe that in any given context where God plants a church, that he gifts the people in that church, that he gifts that church spiritually in precisely the right way to reach the sphere of influence that that church has.
Yeah.
To serve each other and to serve outside.
And I appreciate your clarification because I didn't mean to say that tongues were lesser than prophecy, and maybe
well, he uses, I mean, but, he yeah, uses
he
that
does
language.
Say it that way, but it's only because he's reacting to a certain situation,
yeah,
and where the reverse is true, where people have elevated tongues to such an important place. But tongues is a wonderful spiritual gift, mm-hmm. and I know a number of people who have that gift. I don't yet. I hope to someday. But the people that I know are very responsible with that gift, and it's not something they use in corporate worship, but I have been praying with people in small group prayers in response to certain catastrophes or urgent situations where they'll begin praying in tongues, and it is a beautiful gift and a special way to communicate with God. So I appreciate that gift, and I hope to gain a larger appreciation for all the gifts too. Like I said, sometimes we put down some gifts as being lesser or smaller, gift of service or
yeah.
generosity. Well, sure, everybody can do that if they just chose to. But there are certain people who are just gifted that way, especially, and that's neat.
Well, that gets down, I mean, maybe this is a good way to kind of close it out in terms of desiring the gifts. Scripture tells us, yeah. desire
eagerly,
these gifts.
Eagerly desire
spiritual gifts. And so you and I have the gift of preaching and teaching, right?
Yeah.
Should we be satisfied with that?
No.
Or should we eagerly desire...
administration, maybe, both of us leadership. Should chase after?
Yes, maybe administration. But we have people for that,
yeah.
right? But yes, like service and encouragement and generosity.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to be fully alive Christians,
yeah.
and we want to experience all of those gifts. And it's a beautiful thing, Scripture says, to desire to pursue those things.
Well, that's what we can focus on in the coming weeks, and I hope all of our listeners as well, that you can just pay special attention to praying that God would give you different gifts, that He would give you opportunities to use and develop different gifts, and hopefully we'll all become more aware of the Spirit's presence and the power that we have through the Holy Spirit to engage culture and to serve one another, and that'll make the church in America and around the world a more accurate representation of Christ's bride in the way that He intended it to be. And so we'll keep striving for that day when it's made perfect.
And step out in faith and use those gifts yep. with confidence, people. Right?
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.